Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue this morning's worship service singing together from Psalter 134, the first stanzas. Within thy temple, Lord, in that most holy place, we on thy loving kindness dwell, the wonders of thy grace. Men sing thy praise, O God, wherever thy name is known. By every deed thy hand hath wrought, thy righteousness is shown. 134, we sing stanzas 1. Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the book of Exodus, chapter 12, and we will read verse 1 through 14. Exodus, chapter 12, 1 through 14, but first we will hear the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention to you Exodus chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood, and strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire. His head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Thus far.
Congregation, let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer and ask for his blessing upon the word and sacrament. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, faithful Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast created all things and upholds all things, in thee we live and move and have our being. And on this first day of the week, on this beautiful day, where we may see in creation the sun shining, and thou hast given us this day to gather in thy house, to hear what thou hast to say unto us, and in this morning, not only through thy word, but also through the sacrament of holy baptism. And Lord, may we then beg thee that thou would gather with us, that thou would work mightily, irresistibly, and apply thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, without thee we can do nothing. We are completely dependent upon thee for every breath, for every heartbeat, for every brainwave. But Lord, spiritually, we are also completely dependent upon thee. By nature, we are born totally depraved, with our backs to thee, enemies, seeking everything in the world and nothing in thee. And we need thy renewing grace, that regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, that sinners may come alive, that they may come to see who they are before thee, a holy and just God, but also a merciful and gracious God, that thou hast provided a way of deliverance through thy Son, the Lamb. And Lord, we pray then that thou would remember those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses. Maybe they woke up this morning and they came to church out of custom. Lord, may they go home so completely different because of thy grace. As Zacchaeus, he came just to be curious, to see, but no need. And he that day was made alive. Lord, we beg thee thou also knows those who have come, who have bowed their knees as poor, lost, needy, bankrupt beggars with no hope. Lord, wilt thou show them the way that there is a Lamb? Show them the Lamb, and by thy Holy Spirit may they come to know him as their Lamb, that they may have that only comfort in life and in death, that I'm not my own, but that I belong to that faithful Savior who has bought me and purchased me with his own precious blood. Lord, we beg thee then for the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not the work of men, but it's a work of a triune God to seek and to save lost sinners. Lord, we ask that there may be comfort also for the poor and needy sinners. Lord, wilt thou then give a blessing upon thy precious word, but also upon the sacrament. May we not only hear thy voice, but may we be given to see that water that not only points to our need of cleansing, but also that points to that only way of cleansing in that precious blood of thy dear Son. Lord, wilt thou give them that thou would be among us, and may we plead upon the promise that thou hast given and made in thy own word. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in the midst. Lord, thou art a faithful, covenant-keeping Jehovah to an unfaithful, to an unworthy, to a polluted, to a sinful people who have no rights, who have nothing in themselves that would move thee to look upon them. But Lord, we ask thee for thy great name's sake, look upon us in mercy. Look upon us through thy Son, in whom thou art well pleased, upon him who is sitting at thy right hand. And may he be for us also today that interceding high priest. Lord, we beg thee then that thou would dwell among us today. Give us an unforgettable hour in thy house, that we may go home. May it be with that true joy in believing in thee. Lord, remember then the whole congregation, all those who are sick and afflicted, those who are waiting for tests. Lord, give grace. Bless the means, but also give patience under these afflictions. And may it be good for us to be afflicted, that it may be a turning point in our life. Lord, sanctify these callings also to our hearts. Remember those who are mourning. Remember the widows. Care for them, Lord. Thou art the God of all comfort. Wilt thou comfort them with thyself then, Lord? We pray and ask thee to remember those who also have addictions. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, thou art that mighty God, free them. Remember all those who are suffering for various reasons, for afflictions in their body, for things in their mind, or things in the past that has happened unto them. Lord, remember each one. Have mercy upon us, Lord. We beg and ask thee, Lord, that thy kingdom may come, not only among us, that our children may be born again, that teenagers may be born again, that adults and older ones may be regenerated and taught and led, stripped of everything and brought by those cords of love drawn to that only precious Lamb, and that they may see him by those eyes of faith. Give faith, Lord, and give that it may be an exercise for the glory of their name and for the comfort of sinners. But may we also ask thee, Lord, that thy kingdom may come throughout the world. Wherever thy word may be preached today, help all thy servants. Give them faithfulness. Give them the light of thy spirit, and that we may be instruments in thy hands, that we may be a mouthpiece for thee, ambassadors. Lord, it's through the foolishness of preaching, and thou hast not called angels, but thou hast called sinful men. May there be much prayer, and wilt thou give opening? Because if the Lord will close, who can open? But if thou wilt open, who can close? Lord, we pray, bless all mission work among Jew and Gentile. Lord, remember then those who go to different places to proclaim thy word. Bless it, Lord. And may we ask thee again also, especially as thou hast given us the responsibility and the privilege to bring thy word in Bolivia. Bless it richly there. Care for the church workers and their families, the office bearers and thy servant. Lord, use them that thy kingdom may come, that many Bolivians may be born again and come to know and worship that only precious name whereby we must be saved. Lord, remember the parents also this morning who will answer to those questions. Lord, we beg thee that they may feel their need, that they need thee, that they need thy grace, and that thou would give them the grace to answer that question, but also to live also according to what they promise. Bless thy word to their souls and to the souls of their children. And Lord, what thou promises in that covenant of grace, may we beg and plead. Lord, thou hast said, I will take away hearts of stone, and I will give hearts of flesh. Oh, we beg thee then, Lord, work mightily, work irresistibly throughout the world, but also here in this church, in our families, in our hearts. Lord, we beg thee, thou can do above all that we can think and ask. Lord, give us not only that true humility before thee, because thou art that holy, that just God, and thou could righteously pass us by because of all our sins, because of all our iniquities. But give us also that faith to look up unto thee, and may it also be with expectation, not in anything of self, but because of who thou art, because thou art the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and thou wilt seek and thou wilt save thy beloved people. And oh, may we and our children be included in that blessed people. Lord, look down upon us in mercy then, we pray. Forgive us of all our many sins. Wash us in that all-atoning blood of thy dear Son, and may we be covered by his righteousness. We ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, now we will read the form for the administration of baptism. And you can find it in the back of your Psalter if you'd like to read along on page 126. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we, our children, are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This the dipping in or sprinkling with water teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, Holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there contain two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, and with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promises unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formally commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them, as we read in Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to the years of discretion, that therefore this holy ordinance of God may administer to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who also hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased, of thine infinite mercy, graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing his cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, only one God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. May I ask the parents to please rise. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end, and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded. You're to answer sincerely to the following three questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore, as members of his church, ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church, be to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. And thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children, when come to the years of discretion, where you are parents of, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. Mother Van Maren, what is your answer? Father Van Maren, what is your answer? Yes. Father Gallagher, your answer. Mother Gallagher. Father Van Lagen. Mother Van Lagen. Parents, we have heard your answer, but there's someone else who has also heard your answer. And also, congregation, all of us who have children, the Lord has heard our answer. We have said yes to those questions I have with my children, and you did again this morning. It wasn't the first time. And the Lord has heard your and all of our and my answer. And I hope you feel it in your heart, the great need that you have for your own soul, that what we read of what is in that covenant that you need for your own soul. And I hope you see your beautiful little child that the Lord has given you, has entrusted into your care. What a responsibility, but what a blessing. And that you may see that little child, as we heard, it needs to be born again. And what is the means that God uses for regeneration? His word. Soak your children with the word of God. Don't only bring them to church. Don't only bring them, send them to a Christian school, but especially your and my home must be a place where our children hear the precious word of God. And fathers, we're priests. We're to be priests in our home, to teach our children. And may you feel then your great need, because what your children need, you cannot give. But there is one. There's an almighty triune God who can give what you need and who can give what your children need. And there's hope because of him, because of that almighty, powerful triune God. And congregation, this morning, you will hear the word. But you'll also see the Lord in his goodness not only wants you to hear the word, but he also wants you to see by a sign. And what does the water speak about, congregation, parents? It speaks that you and I are filthy. Filthy with sin, and we need cleansing. But more, that water points to that only way of cleansing. And what is the way? Through that precious blood of the Lamb of God. And may God work mightily through the word and through the sacrament. And may eyes be opened not only to see filthy themselves, but may there also be a blessing to see, to look outside of self, to hear about the Lamb in the preaching, to be guided to the Lamb, to be drawn to the Lamb, but also to see with an eye of faith, by grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that water that points to his all-atoning blood. Let us sing now from Psalter 289, stanzas 2 and 3. And after the Amen of the baptism of the last child, then we will sing Psalter 425, verse 5. So now we will sing Psalter 289, stanzas 2 and 3. Let hearts rejoice that seek the Lord, his holy name adore. Seek ye Jehovah and his strength, seek him forevermore. 289, 2 and 3. Tucker Dawn, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the Holy Ghost. Julia Christina, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. Eli Lewis, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us close with thanksgiving. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise thee that thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and receiveth us through the Holy Spirit as members of thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech thee, through the same Son of thy love, that thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase, and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may then may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy which thou hast shown to them in us, and to live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may ever eternally praise and magnify thee and thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 387, stanzas 1 through 6. The first six stanzas. O Lord, make haste to hear my cry. To thee I call, on thee rely. Incline to me a gracious ear, and when I call, in mercy hear. 386, the first, sorry, 387. 387, all stanzas. Yeah, in the meantime, your gifts will be received. The collections for today is for the church and for the benevolent fund. 387, all six stanzas. Congregation, several weeks before Good Friday and Easter, we consider the one perfect substitutive sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross. And maybe you're wondering, what's the connection with an Old Testament chapter, Exodus 12, with Passion? The Israelites were commanded to keep the Passover. It was a remembrance of their great deliverance from under bondage, under the hand of Pharaoh. But the Church of God also has a very special day that they remember deliverance, of that only way of deliverance. And that is through him who signified, pointed to the illustration of the Lamb, because Jesus Christ, he is the Lamb. May I ask you this morning, is there a need for a Lamb? Is there a need for a Lamb in your heart, in your soul, that you're guilty before a holy and just God? And have you heard there is a Lamb? There is a way? But is there a need in your heart, personally? Is there an urgency that you need a Lamb? And do you long to know him more and more and more? Are you like Paul? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, "For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Because that was completely all of Paul's comfort and hope. It was all in Jesus Christ and him crucified. He had no more hope in self. It was all only in that precious Lamb. Jesus Christ, he's that rock. But he's also that foundation of salvation. And so this morning, with the Lord's help, we will consider what we read in Exodus 12, verse 21 through 23. Exodus 12, verse 21 through 23, where we read from the Word of God. "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you." So far, God's precious word. The theme this morning is a lamb protects from God's judgment. We read in verse 12 that the Lord is going to execute his judgment. And congregation, there's coming a future judgment. The Lord is going to return, and he's going to execute his judgment upon the whole earth. So a lamb protects from God's judgment. Three thoughts. First, a chosen lamb. We read in verse 21, draw out and take you a lamb. And we read this also in the beginning of this chapter in verse 3. So a chosen lamb. Second, a slain lamb. Verse 21, kill the Passover. It means to kill the lamb. Or in verse 6, kill it in the evening. So a slain lamb. And then the third thought, a sheltering lamb. Verse 23, when he seeth the blood, he will pass over. And we read in verse 13, when I see the blood. So a lamb protects from God's judgment. A chosen lamb, a slain lamb, and a sheltering lamb. So a little bit of history this morning. First, the children of Israel are living in, the covenant people are living in Egypt. They're comfortable. They've been living there for many years. But then things changed. Pharaoh that knew Joseph died, and another king. And then the children of Israel are brought under bondage and affliction, suffering. And they began to groan and sigh and cry because of all that oppression. And may I ask you already, are you a groaner? Are you a crier? Are you a sigher? No, not because of earthly affliction, but because of bondage, because of afflictions, needs of your soul. And then we read in Exodus 2, verse 24 and 25, that God heard them. What a beautiful thing. He hears those groaners, those sighers. And we read, and God heard their groaning and remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. God looked upon them and had respect unto them because of his covenant. He had pity upon those people that were crying and groaning unto him because of his covenant, that blessed covenant of grace. And may we ask him also this morning, Lord, remember thy covenant. We heard of the covenant through the baptism. And so the Lord called Moses, his servant, to go to Pharaoh. Let my people go. And what happened? Pharaoh only increased their afflictions. And he said, I will not let those people go. And it became worse and worse. And Moses also himself, he went back, so to speak, to the Lord. As we read in Exodus 5. And he has the question, why have I been sent? Pharaoh hasn't listened. It's only going backwards. It's only getting worse. I may insert another question. Is that your experience spiritually? It's only getting worse? And so the Lord speaks to Moses again. He says, I will deliver my people with a strong hand. Moses, I am Jehovah. And he gives a promise, which we can read in Exodus 6, verse 6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, and take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. Those covenant blessings. God remembers his covenant. God looks upon his covenant people groaning and crying. And so in Egypt, God sends nine plagues. And what did Pharaoh do? Did he let him go? No, he didn't. He hardened his heart, and And he said, I will not let them go. Now Jehovah, that Almighty God, will send one last plague. And this plague is very different. It's not by the use of a means, of a rod, not by the hand of Moses. No, Moses is set aside in this last plague Because this plague will come directly from the almighty hand of God, from Jehovah. What will he do? What will he do, children? Older ones, we read in Exodus 11, verse 4, and Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. What will happen? As we read in the chapter, Exodus 12, verse 23, for the Lord, all capital letters, for the Lord Jehovah will pass through. Who? Who is going to pass through with his presence in Egypt? The Almighty Jehovah, the I am that I am, that all-sufficient one, that one who's infinite holy, infinitely just, and who is a consuming fire. Remember when his presence came upon Mount Sinai? That whole mountain shook and smoked and trembled. And we read that when Jehovah looks upon the earth in Psalm 104, verse 32, he looketh on the earth and it trembleth. He touches the hills and they smoke. The one who is holy, holy, holy is going to pass through with his presence through the land of Egypt. The one who cast out the angels of the heaven because they rebelled. The one who cast out a man out of paradise, out of his presence when he sinned. The one that who's too pure of eyes to behold evil. He's going to pass through Egypt to do what? To execute his judgment. What will he do? Well, we read in Exodus 12, verse 12, I will smite the firstborn. I'm going to come through Egypt and I'm going to smite all the firstborn of the animals and the firstborn of children. And in the Hebrew, it's the firstborn son. Why the firstborn sons? Why? Because every firstborn son was dedicated to be a priest to the gods of Egypt. God is going to speak. Jehovah's going to speak. Pharaoh, you're not God. Egyptians, Pharaoh isn't God. Your God isn't God. I'm God. Israelites, don't look to Pharaoh anymore. Don't look to anything else. Look above. I am the almighty covenant-keeping Jehovah. Jehovah's going to go through, and he's going to smite all the firstborn. It's not a man smiting. No, it's the almighty, holy God. He's going to smite. He's going to send his destroying angel. And that angel, that destroying angel, as we can read in Isaiah 37, verse 36, slew 185,000 Assyrians in one blow. Congregation, who can stand before such a holy, infinite, almighty God? Who can stand before his presence? All those firstborn will certainly die. Who's in the land of Egypt? Congregation? You say the Egyptians. But who else? Who else is in that land of Egypt? Israel, a covenant people. They were circumcised. They had that token of the covenant of grace. Certainly they will be spared. No. I will pass through and I will destroy all the firstborn. Israel is a sinful, totally depraved, filthy, polluted sinners. Yes, they had the blessings, but that's not enough. That's not enough. That will not spare when the Lord comes through his presence. Congregation, children were baptized. You were baptized. I was baptized. I believe all of us have that covenant name on our forehead, the Lord attached, but that's not enough. It's a great blessing. No, don't belittle it. It's a great blessing, but it's not enough. It wasn't enough for Israel to be spared. They needed a way. Those covenant people needed a way to be able to live in the presence of the Almighty Jehovah. And you do also. Those little babies that were baptized, their parents, their grandparents, all of us, we need a way to be able to stand in the presence of the all-holy, infinite God. One day you will stand before him. I will. On the day of your death, but also on that day when he returns. Has that become a reality for you? Yeah, you say, I know it. I know we all know it. But has it really become a reality to you? That you are sin and that you will stand before the holy, infinite God. And how will you live in his presence? How will we meet him in peace? Because if there's not a way provided, there's only one answer. You and I will be sent away. We will be consumed forever under his wrath. And so Israel needed a way. That covenant people. But you need a way. And who provided a way? Did Moses say, Lord, please, we can't stand in thy presence. Please provide a way. No, we don't hear Moses speaking. We hear that covenant-keeping Jehovah. He speaks. He provides a way. And now think. Think of the goodness of God to his covenant people. Israel would have stayed in Egypt so comfortably, living, enjoying life. We do not read of any desire of them to go to the promised land, to go to that land of flowing with milk and honey. But God sent his afflictions through the hands of the Egyptians so that they began to desire to be out, to hear, to plead, to be delivered. And you and I are just like these Egyptians, have all the blessings, and we can comfortably live in this world. But in the goodness of God, it's good if he sends afflictions. Because what is blessings? Afflictions can be blessings. As David said, it was good for me to be afflicted. God speaks through his word. God speaks through the acts of his providence to wake up, to shake up sinners. And he works mightily. God remembers his covenant. Israel didn't remember the covenant. Moses didn't. God did. God remembers his covenant. God seeks and saves sinners. He gives life. He wakens them up through the word, through his acts of providence, so that there is a need worked in their hearts, that they begin to see who they are, who he is, and that they begin to long to be reconciled with a holy and just God, a sinner, because of God's covenant of the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit, begins to confess a sin. He begins to pray. He begins to sigh. He begins to hunger. He begins to thirst. And he begins to ask, is there a way? Not only is there a way for my neighbor, no, is there a way for this man? Is there a way for this sinner? I need to stand before a holy God. And I cannot because I'm guilty. God makes a need for a way. And God provides the way. God does. God teaches. God renews. God shows the only way. And so he gives a command to Moses to command the Israelites, draw out, take a lamb. And so you see that father going. He had to look for a lamb. He had to choose out a perfect lamb, a one-year-old lamb. And he had to take that lamb. He had to take it into his house for 4 days. They had to watch over that lamb. That lamb lived with them, became part of the family. And maybe your question this morning, is there a lamb? Is that your question? You've heard it your whole life. There is a way. But maybe it's a new question in your heart and in your soul this morning. Is there a way? Is there a mediator? Maybe your question is there a lamb? Congregation, there is a lamb. Israel had to choose a lamb. God the Father has chosen a lamb. He has. Jesus Christ is the chosen lamb. God the Father chose him. Listen to what we read in Psalm 89, verse 19. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. My friend, do you need a lamb? Are you without strength? No, not that you're physically weak, but that you cannot save yourself. You need to be saved, and you cannot save yourself. This morning, I may proclaim to you, there's a Lamb. There's a mighty Lamb has the power and the ability and the willingness to save powerless, guilty sinners who cannot save themselves anymore. It's become absolutely hopeless. What type of a lamb did that father have to look at when he went to the flock? And maybe his children and his wife, they went together. And they looked at the flock. What kind of a lamb did they have to choose? Children? What kind of a lamb? Could he pick, well, that's an older one. That one has a broken leg, so let's take that lamb. Or that one's missing an ear. Or that one can't see with his eye. No, he had to pick and look for the best lamb. One without blemish. A perfect lamb. And Jesus Christ, he's that chosen one by the Father. And he is that perfect lamb. And we read in 1 Peter 1 verse 19, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He's that spotless one for filthy ones. He's that mighty one for hopeless and helpless ones. So you see that father, maybe he picks up that little lamb and he's going to that house. And I was a farmer. Animals don't like to be separated from the flock, from the herd. And maybe that little lamb was then bleeding, struggling, maybe kicking. He wanted to go back to be with his mother or with the family or with the flock. But what about the lamb? What about the lamb, the chosen lamb? Oh, he's so different. He was so willing to come. He left the glory of heaven. He came, he was so willing, and he said, I come to do thy will, O God. Thy law is in my heart. That chosen lamb, that mighty lamb, he came willingly, left in his glory. But he also came willingly to have a body. Why to have a body? So that he could give it as a sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God who opened not his mouth. He didn't, I say it very reverently, he didn't bleat. He was quiet. He went that way willingly to be that sacrifice for his beloved people, voluntarily giving himself, willingly. And we read that they bound him in that garden. Think about it. Sinful hands took that lamb and bound him with ropes. The almighty, infinite, holy God who became flesh allowed sinners to bind him. But he didn't break him. He didn't bust him. He wasn't like Samson. No, he allowed himself to be bound. The chosen lamb allowed himself to be bound. What a wonder. My friend, do you need a lamb? May I tell you, there is a lamb. There's a lamb, a precious lamb. There is a necessity for the Israelites to have a lamb. But is there a necessity in your own life and soul for a lamb? A lamb. And so you see in households, a lamb. But is that lamb enough? Children, is it sufficient that those Israelites had a lamb? They have a lamb in their house. What's going to happen? The Almighty Jehovah is going to pass through. And did he say, if you have a lamb, that's enough? What is he going to look for? What is he going to, what's going to cause his wrath to pass over that house? It's such a wonder that there may be a lamb. But we need to learn also, especially you sinful people, children of God, you need to know and learn. It's not enough. It's a wonder that there is a lamb. But we need a slain lamb. We need a lamb. We need the blood of the lamb. We need a slain lamb. What does sacrament of baptism, what does that water speak about? Two things. Your filth. But it also speaks and points to that covenant provision through the Lamb, through his blood. And so we go to our second thought. First, a chosen lamb. Now, a slain lamb. The Israelites had to choose that lamb on the 10th day. And now it's the 14th day. Every household is busy. What are they doing? They're going to prepare the Passover. They're going to kill that lamb. Why? Why? The Lord, the Almighty, Infinite Jehovah, will pass over at midnight. There's an urgency. We need that lamb. We need the lamb to be slain. And so that lamb that was in their own house, that lived with them, and that speaks of Jesus Christ. He came and he lived on this earth among sinners. But then at a time, this lamb in this house that was with them for 4 days, he had to be taken and he had to be slain. When? When was he slain? In the evening. And many believe this was the same time when Jesus Christ was crucified. Many years later, the Lamb of God, he was slain at the time that the Passover lamb was slain. And how did they kill the lamb? What did they do? Did they butcher it and cut it into pieces? No, they didn't. The father, he took the lamb, and you could see that father, and he went with a knife, and he sliced his throat. And what poured out of that throat then? Blood. Blood. And they caught that blood in a basin. And what did they need to do with that blood? They needed to put that blood on the lintel, on the doorposts. And maybe the children asked, Dad, why? Why do we need that blood in our house? And the father could instruct his children. Listen, fathers, you need to instruct your children too. I do too. Children, we need blood. The Lord is going to pass over. Otherwise, the firstborn is going to die. Fathers, you need to instruct your children. Instruct them there is a lamb. Tell them about the lamb. But tell them also they need the blood of the lamb. They need that blood applied to their own souls. And who killed the lamb? Who did? The Jews? The Romans? No, God the Father. May I say it reverently? He took the knife. And he put to death his own son, that sword of God's justice, of an infinite holy Jehovah. It fell upon his own son. What a wonder. What love. He provides a lamb, and he also himself slays the lamb, his own dear beloved son. What mercy. What grace. And so if we would go into those houses, they put the blood on the doorposts. And now I see a whole lamb. Yes, a whole lamb on the table. We read in verse 9 of Exodus 12. His head with his legs with the pertinence thereof. A complete lamb. That taught those Israelites, you need a complete lamb. It teaches us we need a complete Savior. We need him as Lord and Savior. We need him as the prophet, the priest, and the king. We need a complete Savior. And completely lost sinners need a complete Savior. And they didn't butcher this lamb. They didn't cut it to parts. And they also did not break the legs. Open your Bibles to John 19, verse 36. And remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross. And those soldiers came and they were going to break the legs so that those that were crucified would die more rapidly, that they couldn't lift themselves up with their feet upon that little ledge to get another breath. And then they would suffocate and die. And we read in John 19, verse 36. And that's when the soldiers did not break the bones, the legs of Jesus Christ, because he was dead already. Put a spear in his side, and out came blood and water. And then we read, for these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. Christ is the chosen lamb. He's the slain lamb. But his legs were not broken. He's a whole lamb. How do they have to eat it? How do they eat it? How? They weren't to boil it. No, they weren't to boil it. They had to roast it with fire, that whole, complete lamb. And now think of the lamb. He was consumed by the fire of God's infinite wrath. He who knew no sin became sin. Why? So that sinners could be righteous in him, that his people would be viewed, all those who believe in him would be viewed as righteous. God poured out his wrath upon that chosen, upon that slain lamb on the cross. And they had to eat that lamb with what? With bitter herbs. reminding them of the bitterness of sin, and they had to eat it with unleavened bread. They had a time of preparation. They had to get rid of all sin, purge it all out. But they had to eat the lamb. It wasn't enough to have a lamb. They needed a slain lamb. That lamb had to be without blemish, but it wasn't enough that they could just be in that house and see that slain, that roasted lamb on the table. They had to eat it. They had to become one. That firstborn also had to become one with the lamb. They had to eat the lamb. And now listen what the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 6, verse 53. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. What does that mean? To do it literally? To just come to the Lord's Supper and literally partake? No, it's an acting of faith. That act of faith needs to take place before the Lord's Supper. That true believing in the Lamb before partaking. Faith connects. Faith connects a polluted people to the Lamb. Faith connects. Eating is an act of faith. It connects to a substitutive work, to him who's at surety. Eating it in faith. They have to choose a lamb in faith. They had to roast it in faith. They had to put blood on the doors in faith. They had to go in their house. They had to do everything in obedience upon God's command and trusting in his promise that when he sees the blood, I will pass over. They had to eat. They had to become one. Congregation, it's not enough that there is a lamb. It's not enough to hear about the lamb. You need the lamb personally. We need it personally, applied by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need personal, true, saving faith in that lamb, in the Lamb of God. And what a precious thing. God gives that faith because faith is a gift of God. And how did they have to eat it? What do we eat in Exodus 12? They had to be ready. Eat it ready, with a staff in their hands, with their loins girded, and with shoes on their feet. Why? They had to eat it with expectation that they would live and that they would be delivered. Delivered. Finally delivered. They had to eat it in faith, and they had to eat it ready in faith, trusting in that promise of the Almighty Covenant Jehovah, that he will deliver them finally out. Whatever was left in the morning, they had to completely burn it. It had to be completely consumed, whatever they didn't eat. And Jesus Christ on the cross, he was completely consumed by the wrath of God. And so we see them. Take a little look in the houses. In those houses of the Israelites, older ones, younger ones, around that table, eating that lamb. And it probably became very quiet. It's getting close to midnight. There was awe. They had to obey in faith. But what's going to happen at 12 o'clock, at midnight? What's going to happen? The Lord is going to pass over. And what is he looking for? What is he looking for, congregation? He's looking for one thing. He's looking at every house. He's looking at every house. Is there blood? And may I say it tonight, or this morning, may I say it? He's looking. He's looking at every little house. He's looking at every single life. He's looking at every single heart. And he wants to see one thing. He wants to see faith in his son. But he's looking. The only thing that you will be able to live, that he will pass over. What a lesson, is that there is blood. You need the blood of the Lamb. What will keep that angel of destruction from entering into those houses and killing the firstborn? Blood. And so we go to our last thought, a sheltering lamb. The Lord says, when I see the blood, I will pass over. Congregation, there is no exception among us this morning. Every single one of us need a lamb. We need the lamb. And we need not only his perfect life, we also need his sacrificial, his way that he satisfied the infinite wrath of God through his blood. My friend, you need the blood of the lamb. And Martin Luther said, the real horror of being outside of Christ is there is no shelter from the just wrath of God. Do you need a lamb? Do you need a lamb? But is it also true in your heart and your life? Have you been taught you not only need a lamb, you need a sacrificial lamb. You need a lamb that's slain. You need the blood of the lamb. You need the blood, not of an earthly animal, but of the lamb of Jesus Christ. Listen to what we read in Hebrews 12, verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. What did the blood of Abel cry for? Remember, children? Cain killed Abel, his brother, and the blood was spilled. And the blood cries for what? That cries for vengeance. That blood cries for life. And now we read, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. That blood of the mediator, of the precious lamb, of that slain lamb of Jesus Christ, speaketh better things, infinitely better things. What does it speak? What does it say, that blood? It says that there is cleansing. More. It says that the wrath, that infinite wrath of God the Father has been satisfied. It speaks of the only way of cleansing. That blood has power to atone the most vilest, wickedest sinner. Oh, that precious blood that we read in 1 John 1 verse 7, of that blood that cleanses from all sin. No, not some sin, all sin. And so the Israelites, they had to take that blood and they had to sprinkle it on their doorpost, on the lintel and on the doorpost. They had to sprinkle it on their house so that when the Lord, Jehovah, that destructing angel would come over, he would see the blood. And when he saw the blood, he would pass over. He would spare. The Israelites, we don't read of them asking, really, a lamb? The blood of the lamb on our doorpost? Really? That will give life? That will spare us? We don't read that. We read that they obeyed. As we read in Hebrews 11 verse 20, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. They had to obey in faith. Upon the word of God. What an impossibility for wretched, wicked sinners. Now imagine being the firstborn. Imagine being the firstborn. Dad, is there blood on the doorpost? Dad, it's almost midnight. Is there blood on the doorpost? They couldn't go out and look again. To go out and look at that blood, no, they had to stay in the house. And they couldn't see it from being in the house. What did they need to do? The dad said, yes. What were they called to do? What were they called to do? They were called to listen, to obey, to believe in that promise. They couldn't see it again. They couldn't feel it again. They had to be in that house and believe on the word of God. They could see that sign in the beginning when they put it on, but then they had to go into their house and they had to trust that the blood's there, and they had to trust that when the Lord sees the blood, I will pass over. What an impossibility. Because we want to feel. We want to see. We want to touch. But we need that true saving faith in the heart. And the Lord is so good. Also this morning, in this Passover, they could see it. This morning also, he gave water that points to the blood. But when you go home, you can't see it again. You can't see it again. But you need to go home listening and hearing the word of God, believing in the word of God. And children of God, We want to go by our feelings. We want to feel this. We want to feel that. And there is feelings. There is experiences. Absolutely. But we're called to live by absolute faith, not upon our feelings, not upon our conditions, not upon what we receive, but upon what God says, upon His covenant promise, upon His unconditional promise. When I see the blood, when I see the blood of that lamb that I gave upon the doors of your hearts, I will pass over. You will be spared. No, you will have eternal life. And now comes the question. How? How can I have the lamb? How can I have that blood? Do you feel your need? Maybe that's a question. I need it. I need that blood. I need that lamb. But how can I have it? On my own heart. On the doorpost of my own heart. We can't literally take it and sprinkle it. No. How? What's the connection, congregation? What's the connection? Faith. Faith in the Lamb. Faith in what God provides. Faith on the Word of God. Faith in the blood. Faith. We need that gift of faith. But we need that faith to be exercised again and again. And Passion Season is to teach His sheep, to teach the whole congregation their need of the Lamb and the blood of the Lamb. And that there begins an urgency for the Lamb. And there begins an urgency for the blood of the Lamb. But also for His people. Maybe they had Christmas. What do we mean by that? Maybe they saw there was a Lamb. It was beautiful. It's precious. It's the gift of God. But the Israelites could not live under the wrath of God with just a Lamb. Maybe you've seen the beauties of the Lamb, that He's without any sin. Any sin. But they need to be led further. Why? Because there's only reconciliation through the blood. Because there and there only God's justice is satisfied. So in Passion Season, it's a teaching for God's children not to look at anything else. But they need more. More of that Lamb. They need the blood of the Lamb. And so the Lord comes through Egypt. He passes through and He's looking and He sees a house, no blood, and He enters in and that firstborn dies. But then He sees another house, He sees the blood, and He passes over. He will not allow those that have faith in His Son. He will not allow His sword of justice to fall upon them. Why? Because it fell upon His Son, and His Son satisfied for them. Many Egyptians woke up in the morning, or maybe even later, and they saw firstborn was dead. They had no blood. They had no lamb. They had no blood. They had no shelter. They had no protection. They were without the lamb, without the blood. And so that destroying angel came in and slew the firstborn. Congregation, I hope you feel it. You need a lamb. There's a holy, infinite God who's going to execute His judgment. He's going to pour His wrath upon this whole earth. And there's only one shelter. It's in the Lamb. How are you living? How are you living with your baptized forehead? Are you a careless sinner? Careless? You hear it? Hear it? How are you living? I need to read to you a verse from Hebrews 10, verse 29. Listen closely, please. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. God speaks in the sacrament of baptized, or in baptism. He speaks through the water. There's blood. But what are you doing with it? Are you just living in the world? Careless? Read this verse again when you get home. Hebrews 10, verse 29. You will not be spared, my friend. Today, if you hear His voice, make haste for your life's sake. But you, trembling sinner, trembling sinner, oh, do I have the Lamb? Am I washed? Do I have his blood? Am I cleansed with him, with his Lamb, with the Lamb? What lessons we need to learn, stripped more and more of self, that in self, everything becomes insufficient. They become absolutely bankrupt, that we don't only need a Lamb, they need the Lamb, but that we need him, that one who satisfied the justice of God. Christian, he was directed to that door. He entered through that door, speaking of faith in Christ. And later he experienced at the cross, there his burden came off. There he was freed, because there God was satisfied. There was the payment. Who are those true members of the church? Who are they? Who are those that have the blood? Who are they? They are those who are born again, made alive, regenerated, as we heard in the first part of baptism. They are those who begin to mourn because of their sin and who loathe themselves. Those who long to have reconciliation with a holy God. Reconciliation with him, to have his favor, to have communion, to have a little smile, a token of love for their own soul. They want reconciliation. They hunger for God. They thirst for God. They love for him because love was poured in their heart and it goes back to him. And in the Belgic Confession of Faith, we hear about a true church. Marks, the pure preaching, the proper administration of sacraments, and discipline. And then at the end, he speaks about those true members. Who are they? They are those who continually are taking refuge. In what? In the blood, death, passion, and obedience of Jesus Christ. My friend, how is it with your soul? Soul lost, all lost. That blood on the doorposts of those Israelites is all dried up. It's all dried up. Insufficient. But that blood, if I may say it this way, very reverently, of the Lamb, it never dries up. It has that power that it has from the moment that he has given it until the never-ending eternity. It has the power. And you need that blood applied by the power of the Holy Spirit to the doors of your hearts. And the connecting point is by faith. True saving faith. Seek life in the Lamb, but seek more and more in his righteousness, but seek also his blood to cover. And all those who have the faith in the Lamb, they may not know that they have that blood in their hearts, but every single sinner who's born again and who have faith in Jesus Christ, they already have that blood. But then to experience that that blood is mine, what lessons to be taught. And may they have seen it this morning. Not just the parents, not the children, but may they have seen it. May faith have been in exercise to look more than the water, to see that blood. Because congregation, to see that blood, that precious blood of Lamb, that is so precious. That's so beautiful. That's where peace is. Profound peace with God is through the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, we beg thee that thou would be the after preacher, that thou would apply thy precious word, that precious Lamb, reveal him unto us. Make room in our hearts for him, and lead thy people further and further, that they may see more abominations in self, and that they may seek to be hidden, to be covered with the righteousness of the Lamb, to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, because there, as we may know from thy word, that thou hast looked upon that sacrifice and was well pleased. Lord, show that thou cannot be well pleased in anything of us that's all filthy, all polluted, and lead and draw and guide to that Lamb and to his blood and to his righteousness. Keep us in this day, Lord. Help the elders when they give instruction in catechism. Make it a blessing for them and for the students. And may we be brought again here tonight to hear thy precious word. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us sing now from Psalter 248, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. 248, 1, 2, and 4. The man who once has found abode within the secret place of God shall with Almighty God abide and in his shadow safely hide. So the 248, 1, 2, and 4. one announcement which was missed in the bulletin, that tomorrow evening at 7:30 is a deacon's meeting. Visitors are welcome after 8:30. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.